call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much.
Shall I do a roll call for you, Chuck?
Yes, please.
Philip Shepherd? Mike Rodenbach?
Here.
Bilal Baran?
I'm here.
Uta Decker?
Yes.
Christina Rosette? Not on yet. Cyril Shua? Not on yet. Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yes.
Greg Roof?
Here.
Robin Gross?
Present.
Norbert Klein?
Nobody's here.
Mwaki Tango? Mwaki's not present yet. Adrian Kinderis sends his apologies. He will not be on the call. Ross Rader?
Morning.
Tom Keller? Not on the call yet. Kerry Karp?
Here.
Edmund Chan? Not on the call yet. Chuck Gomes?
Here.
Don Bing? Avery Doria? Sophia Bekele?
Present.
Alan Greenberg?
Here.
Suzanne Sen? And for staff, we have Olaf Nordling?
In the flesh.
Patrick Jones?
Here.
Karen Lent?
Here.
Craig Schwartz? Kurt Pritz?
Here.
As observers, we have Miriam Shapiro?
Here.
Liz Gaster?
Here.
And we have Tim Ruiz from the Registrar Constituency. Have I missed anyone?
Glenn, I didn't hear. Did you call for Robin Gross?
Yes, I did, Norbert. Thank you.
I didn't hear it.
I've just been notified that my phone system is going to be reset at 10:15 Eastern,
which means I'll be off the call between 10:15 and 10:20. So if I'm cut off in the middle of the transfers stuff, if we get that far, then I'll be back on shortly after.
Thanks, Russ.
Okay. I don't think we have any planned votes today, Glenn, but do we have a quorum?
Just 14 people, Chuck. 14 votes.
Okay. And that's the minimum required?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully Aubrey will be able to get in here any time, and I will turn it over to her when she gets in. But let's go ahead and proceed. Item one of the agenda is to update any statements of interest. Are there any updates?
Yes, it's Mike Rodenbaugh.
Okay, Mike.
I'm no longer working for Yahoo. I own my own business, Rodenbaugh LLC, which is a member of the business constituency, and I am therefore representing myself.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
I should say I will have a more detailed written, updated statement of interest very, very shortly.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else? All right. Let's go on to item two on the agenda, which is the report from the IDN CCNSO GAC issues report group that we formed to discuss that issues paper that was published quite some time ago, and that the board asked for comments on. I chaired that little group, and there are two documents that are referenced that Glenn set out this morning in that regard. One of them is the full draft comments that the ad hoc group developed for council consideration. That's a 17-page document that you should have received many weeks ago. And that's really the key document in this regard that we will ultimately, not later than LA, have to make a decision on. And then for the sake of this meeting today for a little briefer overview of that full document. I prepared a briefer version that's about 5 pages long that I will go through this morning. Aubrey allotted 30 minutes for this, and there are plenty of other things on the agenda, so I'll try and stick to that. Now, there's a lot of material to cover here, so I think that it's what we ought to do in going through it is I will mostly just go through the document that hopefully you have in front of you, the summary document. If there's something that's not clear, please interrupt me and let me know. And then if we have time within the 30 minutes, we will start discussion on this. But the plan is to discuss, to continue discussion on this document with the goal of making a decision in our LA meeting on exactly what comments we send to the board and the community with regard to that issues report. Any questions or any concerns about that that approach? Okay. Was there somebody? Did somebody want to say something? Okay. Then I will start going through the summary document and. It starts off just referring to the board action in Puerto Rico, and that's where the GNSO as well as other SOs and advisory committees were asked to respond by the Los Angeles meeting to the issues report. In our 19 July meeting, we formed a small ad hoc group to draft some responses for council consideration to the issues report, and Bilal, myself, Mark McFadden from the ISCPC, and Olaf was our staff person, Sophia, a NOMCOM rep, Tan Tin Wee from the NCUC, and Yoav Karen from the registrars all participated in that, and Aubrey and Milwaukee participated as observers. We worked via email and held 3 teleconference calls, and we came to rough consensus in the recommendations that are contained in the full document. In cases where there were differing opinions, what we did was we tried, I think we were quite successful among the ad hoc group, of developing language that most of us, if not all of us, could support. And in just about every case, it was everyone from the small group supporting it. Purpose of the document is to contain our comments as a council, okay, and GNSO in general, in response to the CCNSO GAC issues report on IDN issues. In the document, there are 4 key documents that are referenced and referred to several times. And hopefully most of you have read the full document and have seen those. But, of course, one key document is the issues report itself. A second one is the adopted board resolutions. That one isn't referenced, I think, just at the beginning. And then the outcomes report of the GNSO IDN working group that completed its work earlier this year was referenced quite a few times, as well as the GNSO reserve names working group final report. So all 4 of those are key references. The comments in the report are divided into 2 sections, most of which are in Section B. Section A are some comments related to an interim and overall approach to IDN CCTLDs that the issues report specifically asks for comments on related to the ISO 3166-1 two-letter country codes. The main part of the report, Part B, contains specific responses to each of the issues as identified in the issues report. And note that in each case, the responses are identified by proposed GNSO response. And to make it easy to follow, the issues are copied verbatim from the issues report itself, followed by the proposed GNSO response. Please note that this document, the summary document that I'm going through today, is not intended to replace reading the full document. What I've tried to do in the summary document is pick out areas that I think are most critical and maybe and possibly most important for additional discussion, but ultimately we will have to make a decision on the full context of what we send forward. So,
Chuck, can I answer the question?
Absolutely. That's what I ask you to do.
Okay. Is this summary, the chair, your judgment of the salient issues, or was there some distillation conducted by the entire group?
Very good question, Kerry. And it is my judgment. Okay, that's why I want to emphasize, make sure you read the full document. And if anybody wants to bring up something that I don't include, that's absolutely welcome. But I really didn't have time to reconvene the group. By the way, Kerry, though, I did distribute this summary before it was finished, at least a week ago. I distributed it to the full ad hoc group for any comments that they would want to add. And now I did not receive any, so I'm assuming that everybody was comfortable with it, although I didn't get specific affirmation of that. Okay? Thanks for that. Good question. Anything else before I start going through the contents of the summary that I created? Okay. All right. Then part A, there are five initial recommendations that are contained in the draft recommendations. And the first one is that IDNT TLDs, that including CCTLDs and GTLDs, should be introduced as soon as practicable after technical requirements and tests are successfully completed. Recommendation two. I'm sorry, who was that?
This is Aubrey. I'm sorry I'm late, folks.
Oh, welcome. I now confer the chair responsibilities to you and let you know, Aubrey, we are going through agenda item 2. I am going through the summary report of the comments, draft comments on the CCNSO GAC issues paper on IDNs.
Okay, thank you very much, and thanks for covering for me.
And not a problem. And Aubrey, I am at Section A of the report. I just covered the first recommendation there, and I'm now on number 2.
Okay, thank you.
Chuck.
Yes.
Just a question on number 1 here. As soon as practicable after technical requirements and tests are successfully completed, is there more specificity or definition around what those requirements and tests are and when they're expected to be done?
The test is just about to be started on introducing IDN TLDs in the root. So that's the big test. Now, as far as technical requirements, the IETF is in the process of revising the IDNA standard, and those are the two key elements. And I don't know, Gary, is there anything else that should be added there?
Well, the test is described it was in the document that was posted on the ICANN site a while back. And there's just a sequence of decisions and confirmations that are required before the thing can actually be initiated. And we're in the midst of that process. Nothing has happened, to my knowledge, that is going to be massively disruptive of the initially envisioned schedule.
Right. Does that answer your question, Mike?
Kind of. I'm just wondering if maybe there's a link to somewhere that we should include in here, just some more specificity as to what exactly we mean by that.
Aubrey, this is Kurt. Can I?
I'll start taking it.
Tina also has a in her project plan. She has a technical portion to that that lists the technical requirements that include this this round of trial IDNs, an SAC report, the IATF documents that are being developed. And gosh, there's one other key part. So, I'm sure that's a public document. So I'll work with Chuck to, if he wants to include that in the report or be an appendix or a reference to it.
That sounds like a good idea. And I wrote myself a note to also be a reminder there. Aubrey, one of the things before you got on that I suggested, because we only have 30 minutes allotted for this, is that, probably I should go through this summary document as thoroughly as possible and encourage people to stop me if there's something that's not clear, but that we should wait and see how much time we have for discussion within the 30 minutes. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah,
is that okay?
Yeah, question.
Okay.
Clarification.
But please remember that you can submit, if we don't have very much time for discussion today, and we probably won't, that suggestions and comments should start coming in via the list, and we will discuss this report further in future meetings and in particular in L.A., but we shouldn't wait just till L.A. To get it finalized because we do have a deadline to respond to the board by L.A.
Right. One thing I should point out, we have a deadline to respond to the board, but if we have a complete answer, we'll probably be one of the few that does.
Yes. Okay. All right. Recommendation number two, the GNSO should be primarily responsible for ID and GTLD policies under the new GTLD policy framework and for developing any other needed policies and procedures, including coordination with other ICANN organizations and advisory committees, as well as any relevant language communities external to ICANN. Number three, the CCNSO should be primarily responsible for ID and CCTLD policies, and you can see that's worded very similarly. Item four, assuming that concerns regarding security, stability, and interoperability are sufficiently addressed, neither the introduction of ID and GTLDs or ID and CCTLDs could be delayed because of readiness of one category. But if they are not introduced at the same time, steps should be taken to ensure neither category is disadvantaged because of a delayed implementation. Number five, if the assumption is that IDN CCTLDs will have the opportunity to become de facto IDN GTLDs, as has happened with some ASCII CCTLDs historically, then the selection deployment criteria, for example, technical, financial, operational, et cetera, for IDN GTLD policies, for an IDN CCTLD should be similar to those for an IDN GTLD to ensure that there is no unfair advantage. Then there are two other key components there that are listed. The first bullet says the GNSO supports the suggestion of granting one IDN CCTLD for each ASCII CCTLD if this results in meeting more users' needs sooner, but we would also support a broader implementation that meets more users' needs sooner if that is possible. And number two, the second bullet there, the GNSO is committed to working with the CCNSO however possible to expedite the introduction of IDN TLDs for both CCTLDs and GTLDs, but we will not support any preferential treatment for CCTLDs. And so those two bullets were in response to some specific questions asked for comment in the issues report. Any questions on Part A?
Yes, I have one, Tony Harris.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I've been trying to read all the document, but I have this doubt when we're talking about IDN CCTLDs. In my interpretation, that would mean any country, like say India or China, would would have a similar, a mirror of the current CCT of the string, which is two characters in ASCII, in their own alphabet, right?
Well, except
what the alphabet is.
Except in many cases, Tony, it doesn't make sense to talk about two characters or the length of the string when you're talking about IDNs in the same way that it's done in the ISO 3166.
Can I interrupt again, Terry?
Yes, Terry.
It's not appropriate to speak about alphabets in every national context. There are many writing systems that are not alphabetic, and the notion of abbreviation is enormously cultural centric to the Anglophone frame of reference. So the notion of abbreviation and the notion of alphabetic are biased right from the outset.
I'm sorry about that. But whatever they put in as an IDN would represent what is currently used. Is that correct?
We don't know that for sure. They're seeking advice on that issue as well as many others in this report. That's the general thinking, I believe, and that's addressed further in our responses and in their issues report. And we even, as you will see, reference the Reserved Names Working Group final report where we talked about this issue that Carrie just commented on.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, excuse my...
Those are the kind of questions that are very important, Tony. So no apology needed. It's important that we all understand this, and there's no doubt that there's some areas that get very complicated and somewhat technical from an IDN perspective. Any other questions on Section A?
This is all off here. Could I perhaps append a little to that? I think it's sort of a starting assumption that the IDM CCTLDs would map to the territories which are today identified in the ISO 3166.
Yes. Thank you, Olaf. All right, going to Section B then, the summary report starts off then by a listing of some key comments made in response to issues and questions in the issues report with references to the location in the draft GNSO document in brackets. So if you want to map it back to the full report, I tried to include there the page numbers and paragraph numbers or whatever I could, although the issues report didn't have clear numbering, so it made it a little more difficult, but hopefully it's identified so that you can find them. Number one, maintaining a relationship between IDN CCTLD and the ASCII CCTLD could make it easier to have a good user experience and minimize confusion. Number two, IDN CCTLDs operated as non-territory linked de facto IDN GTLDs should be avoided to preempt unnecessary controversy regarding the blurred interface between GTLDs and CCTLDs. If such restriction is not possible, then the issue of unfair competition must be addressed to ensure that the technical, financial, and operational criteria required for IDN CCTLDs is the same as for new IDN GTLDs. Number three, any IDN CCTLDs added should be done for the sole purpose of benefiting the applicable local CCTLD language community or language communities where there's more than one. Number four, the IDN CCTLD string should be meaningful to the local community and should represent, in scripts of the sovereign government's choice, a meaningful representation of the territory's name in the selected script. Input is strongly encouraged from the local language community, local government, and local internet users and other communities. And let me interrupt myself for a moment here. I suggest that if any of these things jump out to you as something you want to comment, that you highlight them. You're probably already doing that so that we can discuss it further and deal with any concerns you have or any clarifications that are needed. Number five, an IDN CCTLD should be a meaningful representation of the territory's name in the selected script. And again, commenting, maybe clarifying, what this listing of comments in the report are really just, I've extracted brief portions of specific responses to particular issues in the report. So that I personally felt were most important to call to your attention, understanding that all of us need to carefully read the full report. Number six, if there are multiple official scripts used in a territory, the best user experience would be to provide IDN TLDs in all of those scripts where feasible. Suggestions were also made regarding defensive registration, squatting, and phishing. Number seven, the GNSO IDN Working Group agreed that measures must be taken to limit confusion and collisions due to variants. Number eight, if multiple scripts are used in a territory, and if it is judged that those scripts will add value to the user experience, then the sovereign government should make the choice of which scripts and what number of scripts will be used for IDN CCTLDs. Number nine, unlike GTLDs, CCTLDs clearly come under the laws of one specific jurisdiction, so it might be much easier to establish geographical reserve names categories or provide other means of protection for given CCTLDs. Number 10, the most obvious reasons for limiting the number of scripts should be technical to ensure security, stability, and interoperability, but we are not aware of any such reasons at this time. It may be that user confusion could be another reason. Number 11, a key goal should be to try to meet the user needs as best as possible. That said, consideration should be given to whether or not adding an IDN CCTLD increases the possibilities of, one, homographic spoofing, two, creating TLDs with little demand except for defensive registrations, and three, adding a risk of TLDs being misused for political ends. Number 12, variable string length would seem like the right approach for IDN CCTLDs. It is important to recognize that issues of string length for IDN TLDs are very different than those for ASCII TLDs, so it does not necessarily follow that there should be variable length ASCII CCTLDs if variable length IDN CCTLDs are allowed. And Tony, this is one that is dealing with the question that you raised earlier. And, of course, the full report has more on that. Number 13. Go ahead, Tony, do you want to say something?
No, I think okay, thanks.
Okay. 13, regarding what labels should be used to represent IDN CCTLDs, the draft GNSO document refers to several sections of the outcomes report of the GNSO IDN working group that may have relevance to IDN CCTLDs. So that this particular one is not an extraction so much of the full report as it is noting that we refer to the outcomes report for the IDN working group. Several. Number 14, to the extent that this approach is feasible for CCTLD IDNs, it is recommended that principles of international law be applied for making decisions regarding what strings are allowed. Where this approach is not feasible, it is suggested that a pre-consultation process be established for inclusion of the interested parties, whether opposing governments, for example, the two Koreas or Hangul, or organized language communities, for example, government versus language minorities, language-based secessionists, etc. Number 15, it would seem prudent and sensible for ICANN and a prospective IDN TLD registry wishing to deploy their TLD in a given script used by another country to approach that country and or the local language community in question to vet their intent, particularly from the point of view of viability and market acceptability. Number 16, a list like the ISO 3166-1 list in CCTLDs is probably not necessary. But if it facilitated an earlier ability to meet user needs and or help avoid conflict and confusion, it could be useful. Some suggestions were provided regarding who should develop such a list in full report. Okay, and it was stated that such a list should only be mandated if there were not other means to avoid security, stability, interoperability, and user confusion issues, or if consensus develops that such a list is be mandated. Number 17, if the respective policy issues have been resolved to their satisfaction and if processes for production of IDN TLDs are in place, the GNSO and the CCNSO should move ahead at their own pace to introduce top-level IDNs. One should not have precedence over the other at that time. There are over 1 million second-level GTLD IDN registrations in operation today. The majority of those registrants have wanted all along to have a full IDN name, IDN.IDN. Why should their needs be delayed longer than necessary?
Can I make a quick...
Absolutely, Aubrey. Go ahead.
Basically, I'm just looking at the clock and looking at the time for reading these, and I'm wondering if it wouldn't, on the last page and a half, be good to just go through and give the first, you know, like the first sentence that says what it is, assuming that the people can read as you're talking, just so we'll have a little bit of time for discussion, though I know most of the discussion time will be at the face-to-face in L.A., if I could suggest that just for scheduling purposes.
Not a problem, Aubrey. On number 18, we basically say that steps should be taken to avoid ASCII squatting. Something suggested by the IDN working group. and again, we say that if CCTLDs aren't ready to offer IDN GTLDs as early as the GNSO, that there is procedure should be developed to avoid possible conflicts in that regard. That's a very critical thing, I think, to recommend. Number 19, we point out that the GTLD registrants funnel well over 90% of ICANN's budget, and we talk about the issue that it would be unfortunate if ID and CCTLDs were given an advantage in terms of timing, considering some of what they do is funded by GNSO GTLD registrants. Number 20, again, we emphasize the local internet business and user communities and language communities and even minority groups within the sovereign states. This need to be factored in. Number 21, we emphasize that the CCNSO is a policymaking body and suggest involvement by local stakeholders, language communities, sovereign governments, et cetera. 22, some of these are hard to make even briefer because they were already chopped down quite a bit. We say such a process should allow for formal input from local sovereign government, again, that whole issue. 23, we list some who we think are appropriate actors that should be involved in this process. You can see the list of the names there, and then and we also in the report, you know, talk about what their role is. 24, we suggest support by the local sovereign government, local business and user community, and language community. 25, as far as delegation, we note that the IANA actually does a delegation and talk about local legitimacy and so forth in that regard. Regarding the issue of presumptive right of the ASCII CCTLD manager in this process, we again refer to local legitimacy and kind of say that that's kind of a CCNSO issue. But we did point out that the local manager would probably have some good expertise that should be taken advantage of. Number 26. At a minimum, we say that IDN CCTLD operators should be required to follow the ICANN IDN guidelines. And then again talk about if there are some IDN CCTLD running as essentially GTLDs that the level playing field is important. And then number 27, we point out that there's really no difference from a DNS perspective between IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs. But from an administrative perspective, there is obviously some things that have to be handled differently in dealing with IDNs as a registry. And that's the end of the summary. Sorry to make it so one way, but hopefully that gives you a good glimpse of what is in the full report.
Hi. Okay, so as I wanted to say, we have that. For that. That was, I mean, the amount of work that went into it is partly what produced the length of the response and the number of questions. What I wanted to try and do now is just go through and have a shortish open discussion on what concerns and issues people feel need to be further dealt in. As I say, I've got a schedule one-third of one of the 2 days in L.A. for, you know, the discussion on this. Open discussion on this and how we proceed further. So I'd like to start with a cue. Anybody want to comment on major issues, concerns, things that they think we all need to consider?
Carrie has a question.
Carrie, anyone else want
Alan.
To get on the cue? Okay, Carrie, go ahead.
If the GNSO Council wants to put a statement of all of this, we want to distill this massive amount of work down to a statement that we actually can expect people to read, we're probably going to need to squish a bit more out of it than what's reflected in this five-pager. Is there anybody who's been participatory in this exercise who's likely to have enough energy left to do a true executive summary of it?
Well, an executive summary in terms of what, just giving a report to the board at the board meeting in L.A.?
Well, a list of the genuinely crucial issues as a front page to the full report, given that the full report ultimately does have to be considered.
No, I don't know that anyone's got to that yet, but it's a good suggestion that someone will have to do a one-page synthesis, but it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that was in that team. It can be, you know.
And, Carrie, what you're suggesting is an executive summary of the full comment document.
Well, I mean, either the entire group is reconvened and whittles its report down to some sort of format, or, given the enormity of that task, we simply take the full report and acknowledge its incredible value, but slap a one-page distillate of the really essential features onto that, just in case this is seen by somebody who is going to be acting on it, but isn't in a position to devote the time necessary to assimilate the entire 18 pages.
Yeah, I think that's something that I can certainly look into suggesting a first draft to the council. I'm the one that's going to have to get up there and tell, you know, the board where we're at on it, and that one-page summary is essentially what I would probably want to say, which is something that still needs to be vetted by the council. So I can certainly get something like that written before our face-to-face in L.A., and then it's something that we can not only go through the recommendations and make sure that the proposed recommendations are actually recommendations that the GNSO as a whole, GNSO Council as a whole, wishes to make. And we may even talk about, you know, various review processes that we want to go through before we make them as GNSO responses. But we can wordsmith to a certain extent, you know, what it is that I would say about it at the public forum. Would that satisfy? And then
my only concern is, again, given that this is a document that needs to be understood in its entirety, are the people who need to have that understanding prepared to spend the time necessary to do to assimilate it?
Right.
And if the answer to that question is maybe not, then there has to be an absolutely compelling terse statement of what has to be understood, or perhaps just a little set of pointers, in effect highlighting the document so that the key features aren't missed.
Okay, thanks. That's good. And I think we should do that, and we'll figure out the who and how. Anyone else want to speak on this at the moment?
Yeah, it's Alan. My name is.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, just a quick comment that I don't. We certainly shouldn't discuss now, but should be discussed later on if it's not covered somewhere. One of the early recommendations says that should one, either ccTLDs or gTLDs be introduced, IDN be introduced first, the other should not be disadvantaged. It strikes me that if any given country is slow and ccTLDs are not introduced first, it's going to be quite possible for a gTLD to be approved, which would have been the logical ccTLD, IDN ccTLD for a given country. Because I don't think we really have any provisions in the gTLD filtering mechanism which would stop that.
Well, that's the objection process. And that's the public objection process with that nation or even the DAC itself or someone bringing up that issue.
Okay.
So that's where the objection... Now, the question is asked, is that sufficient? but there is. It's not that it's not addressed. It is addressed. It's just there may be different opinions on its sufficiency.
Okay.
And Aubrey, just again, I want to call attention to something I went over in the summary, and that is that we're recommending in the responses that have been drafted that possible areas of conflict be dealt with if they are not introduced at the same time.
And any number of suggestions have been levied about ways to avoid the conflicts in the first round, you know, but none of those have, as far as I know, actually had public discussion yet. Just basically hallway discussions. We should do this. Anyone else want to comment at the moment? If not, we can certainly continue the discussion on the list. I do believe that each of these recommendations from the committee needs to be separately talked about, and, you know, the GNSO Council as a whole needs to decide, you know, if we as a council agree with the proposed statement from the committee. I think they did, you know, an amazing job of giving us something to start with, and I thank them. But if not, we can move on to the next item. But last call, any concerns? Okay, great. Thank you. Moving on to item 3, we have follow-up on the registrar transfer policy review. So, Ross, were you going to do it, or was...
I'm happy to do it.
Okay, great.
So for the long-time followers of the GNSO, you'll know that outside of new GTLDs and who is, the transfers policy is the longest-running issue. Earlier this week, I distributed a review of the work of a group referred to as the Transfers Working Group, which was a subcommittee of the council formed pursuant to a staff request to offload some of the work built into the transfer policy, which required staff to essentially review the effectiveness of the then-new consensus policy regarding the transfer of domain names by registrants between registrars. This has been more informally referred to as domain name portability policy. So with the implementation of the portability policy a few years ago, we realized we probably didn't get everything right, and we require that a review of that policy be done at certain intervals. So for any number of reasons that review didn't happen, so the council created a subcommittee working group to review that policy and make recommendations concerning how it may be improved, or tightened up, clarified, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now finally, the working group has completed its work. We've created three documents, which I've distributed to the council mailing list. The documents come in three forms. The first is an advisory concerning a clarification of the intent of the existing language, which is really a document that we proposed at staff issue, outlining essentially guidance for the community to react to the existing policy. So it's not necessarily describing changes to the existing policy, but rather providing a statement of how staff will interpret the existing policy. The second document...
Ross, before you jump on to the others, I observed this morning that that advisory was posted as a proposed advisory on the ICANN website late yesterday.
I don't believe that that's actually the same document.
It's not. Oh, okay.
I don't believe so. I've yet to... So there's a bit of... I'm not sure what's going on there. I received an email from Karen Lentz yesterday afternoon regarding a staff advisory. I don't actually believe that they're the same documents. I've yet to confirm that. So we'll kind of leave that off to the side for now. I don't have a good answer to that question.
Yeah, I can. This is Kurt. Karen or I can speak to that now, or we can speak to it when you're done, Ross.
May as well pick it up now. It's relevant, sure.
Okay. So, coincident with your efforts, staff has been contacted by registrars and other parties to provide clarification of ICANN staff interpretation of the transfer policy in certain pointed areas. And so we've been working with talking to certain registrars and, you know, among ourselves about providing that clarification. So this sort of came to a conclusion at just about the same time. Realizing that there's still a difference of opinion among registrars and people as to the precise meaning of some of that language, we posted the advisory as an intent to post an advisory so it could take some comments so that enforcement of that clarification wasn't going to be immediate, but provided some notice and opportunity for comment after that. So it's sort of a coincident effort, but I also think it should complement, the GNSO efforts because it provides a staff interpretation that can be relied upon by the group that's considering changes to the transfer policy.
Mm-hmm. Ross, back to you.
Thanks. I'll offer my... Okay, a personal view on that, I guess, Kurt. I think it would be useful for the GNSO and the staff to get together on these efforts because it was never the intention that there be separate efforts. The original purpose of this working group was to kind of help the staff out with this stuff. So like I said, I haven't reviewed this stuff. I don't know whom yet has had a chance to kind of reconcile the different documents now. But to the extent that we could move forward together on this stuff or integrate the two efforts, I think the GNSO would be happy to pass this work back to the staff, at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's certainly the intent.
Moving on to the second document, there's the second class of document is areas where the existing policy needs updating, if you will. Now, the updates here are very, very specific and intended to be very narrow in scope. But they are outside of interpretation of the policy and will require policy development work. So this is these are the points of clarification where we are recommending that specific policy development work be undertaken immediately to update this policy to make it more manageable within the existing market. The final communication is entitled Communication to the GNSO on Issues Arriving from the Review. arising from the review, and this is the kind of the more nebulous policy development work that we would consider desirable but optional. In other words, we can slot it into the priority track, not perhaps as immediate work, but work that needs to be conducted at some point down the road. We certainly can't leave it untended, but we can fit it into a 1-2-3-year plan. So those are the three documents that we've prepared. I've also circulated a motion which will help council kind of digest these reports. Chuck has suggested a modification to that to that motion, which is which I'll happily take on board. I would hope that that council can kind of close this work off quickly, and that we can kind of move on beyond thinking about it and actually onto other issues. Are there any questions?
Yeah, does anyone want to be in the queue to speak? Comments? Not only questions, but, you know, comments. And I apologize for not capturing the motion and actually putting it in the... I'm looking for the text of that now.
I believe it's referenced in the minutes as well, Audrey.
Okay.
And the only, I'm by the way very supportive of the motion that Ross put forward. The only concern I had was is that 2 weeks was given for constituency comments, and it's really tough for us, I know, as a constituency in the registries, and we meet every, we have a call generally every 2 weeks, but still it's tough to get reasonable review and responses in 2 weeks, so I just suggested that it not be quite, and his motion actually didn't require just 2 weeks. It said not less than 2 weeks. I'm just suggesting that we should anticipate a little longer turnaround time for the constituencies.
Okay. Any comments on that? Anyone wish to speak to that? Otherwise, we do have the motion, and we can take a vote on it.
I'm willing to second it, by the way. So
there is a motion. No. I've grabbed it, and by the way, I've started. I know I sent you all the thing, and it's hard to start using it, but I have put the motion in the doc file on Google. However, I don't have any the Chuck's modification to it yet, so I'm getting that.
But, you know, I think, Aubrey, in thinking that through, the motion as written specifies that the comment period will be no less than 2 weeks. The original intention there was that it would essentially be chair's discretion to describe that that comment period. So I believe with your complicity giving us a 4-6 week comment period, we could probably leave the motion stand as is, as long as you're willing to go along with that extended comment period to keep Chuck happy.
And yeah, that works for me.
So in other words, retain it at a period of no less than 14, but we can set it up for 21.
Yeah, or 28, or, yeah.
Right, at 21, 42, whatever.
As long as it's not less than 14, yeah.
As long as it's not less than 14. Okay.
Avery, before you go, there's got a couple of questions for Ross, if I may.
Certainly.
It's Philip here, by the way. Ross, on the point three of the motion, you're recommending a short-term planning group to prioritize the policy issues. I mean, that strikes me as a relatively simple task. Was that not something that you thought of addressing in the working group itself, that you just, or the planning group, whatever you call it, that produces reports?
It was simply beyond the scope of the group to integrate the because this was an open group. It wasn't a purely a council group.
Okay.
It was simply just beyond our capabilities to take the priorities of council and integrate that with the broad range of thoughts that we brought forward in that third document.
Right.
You know, it's something we probably could have done, and it just didn't happen.
Just looking at reducing the number of reports and bureaucratic steps we have to go through.
Sure.
If we can't, I guess we can't. Okay.
Well, you know, Philip, I think it's a fair comment that reducing the complexity of the bureaucracy is important for council. And if it's easier for us to just simply say that Aubrey and Chuck can integrate this into our long-term plan. Or, you know, I don't understand what the council process is for that prioritization right now, so this is kind of my best take on that.
Okay.
But if there's a suggestion for how we can better handle that, I'm really happy to take that on board, because I'm a big fan of reducing that complexity.
I mean, certainly, I mean, what I've been trying to do in terms of work is, you know, sending out the proposed schedule of work that we're doing with what the next item was, so everyone could see what we're working on, with a second page that sort of includes what will be discussed in various meetings. That's pretty much as far as scheduling long-term work has gone, somewhere between, you know, the back of an envelope and using a proper Gantt project chart for things. So I think that having a motion that sort of puts this in the work slot and then basically charges us to get it done is good. Were you recommending any actual amendments to this, Philip?
Well, no, I was asking clarification on that, and at least I now understand that. I'm just looking at the way that I operate in my own association, and certainly had this been something I was preparing for our members, I think probably the Secretariat would have prepared a suggested list of priorities, et cetera, just to help shortcut the work and the decision-making. I think, you know, I mean, council should be taking decisions where there is, significant issues in terms of policy. I think where there's administrative steps we just want to get on with, I look to staff to do that preparatory work for us.
Right. We also do have the step of, and how does that fit in with this motion of the bringing together what the staff has been doing with what?
Well, clearly that's essential too. Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion on this motion? Because I do believe we need to vote on this motion. So basically, we have a motion. Can everybody see it, or should I read it out at this point, the way I have it? I'll read it out in any case, so that's in a minute. Whereas the GNSO Working Group on Inter-Registered Domain Transfers Policy Review has completed its work, and whereas the Transfers Working Group has provided a series of reports to the GNSO Council for its consideration, be it resolved that the GNSO Council will issue the Working Group report entitled Advisory Concerning Inter-Registry Transfer Policy for Constituency and Community Review and Comment for a period of no less than 14 days. And 1A, pursuant to this comment period, all material commentary will be summarized and reviewed by Council. ID, pursuant to the review by Council, that the current or an amendment form of this report be provided to staff for posting to the ICANN website as a community advisory. 2, pursuant to Section 1B of Annex A of ICANN bylaws, that the GNSO initiate the formal GNSO policy development process by requesting the creation of an issues report evaluating issues raised by the working group document, points of clarification, inter-register transfer policy. 3, that the GNSO Council form a short-term planning group to analyze and prioritize the policy issues raised in the report Communication to GNSO on Policy Issues Arising from Transfer Review before the Council further considers a PDP on any of the work discussed in the report. So basically three different reports, three different motions relating to them. And the motion was made by Ross and seconded by Chuck. So any discussion on this before we take a vote? Okay, no. Any objections to taking a ayes and nays vote on this? In which case I'll call an ayes and nays vote. All those in favor of the motion as read, made by Ross and seconded by Chuck, please say aye.
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 All those opposed to this motion, please say nay. Are there any abstentions from this motion? Okay, thank you.
A note for the record, Audrey, I really, really want to thank Karen for her assistance in making this happen. Certainly without her patience and persistence, none of these documents would have been tabled today. So I do thank her for that.
Okay, thank you, and thank you, Karen.
Okay.
Thank you, Ross, for the report. Okay, moving on to item 4, which is discuss agenda for LA public meeting. Now we have quite a schedule in LA. Well, first of all, which has been included in the basically the sort of work table that I've been sending out, the second page of the high-level agenda. In terms of, as people know and we've talked about, we have the new GTO workshop, but we also have our standard open meeting. Now, we had discussed and come to an agreement shortly after the San Juan meeting that we would try to do this slightly differently, and basically as opposed to doing all the topics in public forum and then all the public in all the topics in public meeting of the council, that we would combine the two and walk sequentially through the topics, having discussions with public, constituency report if that's appropriate, report from ad hoc working groups or what have you, from staff if it's an issues report, have council discussion, and then if there's a vote to be taken or a decision to be taken on moving on, have that happen in that, and then move on to the next topic. And so going ahead with that plan and thinking that in general, at most we could handle in this open meeting 4 issues, perhaps of different substantive weight, but 4 issues. So the issues that Chuck and I had talked about putting in this meeting were we should have the IGO a dispute resolution report by that point. It's scheduled to be before the meeting, and we'll probably have even talked about it. The report for that is September 28th, and then we'll be acting on it later. We'll have already taken some actions, and we'll need to discuss where we're at, because we do have it on the October 11th. Meeting, I believe, also. Yes, that's when we get it. And then we'll be, that'll be our second discussion on it. So domain tasting, same thing. There's basically a report and then an open discussion and then possibly any decisions that we need to take at that point. I don't know if there will be any. There's the IDNCC TLD report, which we just had a first discussion of today. We'll have a full meeting on it on Saturday as part of the Saturday schedule, and then this will be the open discussion point. And then the who is, which we already, you know, have sort of discussed, that being sort of the last, hopefully, at least for this period, depending on how discussions and votes go, but the last in this sequence of action for the who is public discussion, and definitely with a vote planned at the end of that discussion. So wanted to know if people wanted to ask clarifying questions, make recommendations, sort of talk about this, and I'll take a cue on that. So anyone want to ask questions, offer suggestions? No, people happy with this plan and this, so we're comfortable with proceeding along the approach we've taken of work sequentially through the issues, and this being the set of issues that we're announcing as our agenda for the meeting. Obviously, as with all agendas, we review the agenda at the beginning of the meeting, and if something has changed, you know, the agenda can change. However, it's basically time to get our agendas out. Just so people know and look at this thing, in the face-to-face meeting on Saturday, I basically have put in, and Chuck and I have been sending us back and forth between ourselves to try and make sure we've got things covered, the who is discussion, the IDNCCTLD report, follow-up as necessary, and the rights protection mechanisms discussions. And we've got those scheduled for the Saturday.
We've got Sunday, we've got face-to-face DNSO report reform discussion. Now, that assumes that they've sent something out by then, which I assume is the case. I've also extended an invitation to the board governance committee, or as many of them as could, to join us for this discussion. One of the things I mentioned in the invitation is that if the schedules don't line up, and as I'd like to try and do it on Sunday, if they can't do it on Sunday, then we may end up doing a shift between Saturday and Sunday, some of our other items. But I've asked them to respond as soon as possible so that we can get this schedule firm. We need to have a final prep for the meeting, especially talking about the Monday workshops, going through any last-minute logistics, any last-minute review of what people are planning to say, presentations, et cetera. And then prep for the GAC meeting. We have a GAC meeting that afternoon where we'll go through a certain number of issues, so have done a certain prep for that, gone through the slides that I or others will be showing at that meeting so that we have a sense of what we're saying and what's on the agenda going in. And then just any pending issues, not closed, issues that emerge or something. So that's the face-to-face 2 days in LA. We have a meeting of the GAC where we're scheduled to talk about, basically give reports to them on where we're at in terms of the IGO and IGO dispute resolution, the main tasting, and the status of the who is discussions at that point. And then we are going to have an open discussion, scheduled to have an open discussion on the IDN CCTLD issues. So, it's a fairly full schedule for LA. Any questions for clarification or anything? Any comments on it? Anybody see any gaping holes of something being missing?
This is Tim.
Yes?
I'm just an observer, but can I ask a question?
Certainly.
Just about the schedule. Will observers or the counselor-elect be allowed to attend any of the DNSO events on Saturday, Sunday?
My view is that these meetings, as I think all of our meetings are by default, open. So anyone is, I would think that, yes, the observers have always been able to speak, and I would think so. Does anybody believe that that shouldn't be the case? No, I would believe that the observers that come to the meeting, and especially, counselors elect, or in perhaps the NOMCOM case, counselors appointed but not taken, place yet, certainly can contribute.
And historically, that's what we've done. We haven't been restrictive in terms of even participation in those workshop meetings the weekend before. So I think that's very consistent with what we've been doing.
I mean, we've occasionally closed something, but very, very rarely.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes we'll have a closed lunch discussion, which is non-observers, but in that case, I would think that the new appointees to the council would be part of the lunch discussion.
I have a different comment,
okay.
Aubrey. On the IDN CCTLD's issue,
yeah.
If we're going to make a decision on each one of the responses in that report, we may not have enough time for on a third of a day to do that. So it seems to me that it would be helpful if we can either we're going to need more time there, or we're going to need to do more work in advance.
One of the things I wanted to comment on that. My impression is, as I said, we have to give status. We don't necessarily need to be complete. I do not believe that either the GAC or the CNSO will be complete with their answers to the questions. In fact, I believe, although I don't have, I'm waiting for them to get back to me from a discussion we had on what the various groups actually decide to do, in that there may be longer processes that happen in their answering of some of these questions. So I believe we need to be ready for substantive discussions. I don't know that we need to be absolutely finished. So this may be a discussion where we've started going through, we've done some processing, and we may need to do more afterwards.
I'm sure they're not going to be done. I think that's why they want the input by then, if they can get it, so that as they continue their work, they have the input that is given, and because many of the issues really could have impact on us as GTLDs, I think if we can get it done, it's much preferable.
Oh, certainly. And one of the things that I think is part of their plans is that there will be methods set up for GNSO Council, CCNSO Council, and GAC to actually work together in some kind of committee structure that runs across the organization. Probably ALAC, too. I'm not sure where all this stands. To discuss some of these issues further. But yes, the sooner we get done, the better. But I do think we have to be careful not to rush ourselves if we're not quite ready.
Avery, Philip, on a related point, if I heard you correctly, you're saying you're planning in terms of running the council meeting and the public meeting jointly, so that you can cover sort of topics one at a time. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep. That was what we discussed doing.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I think it's certainly worthwhile to try that for the reasons that we had previously discussed. I think the only sort of planning point that I would just advise is that because we tend to look towards these physical meetings as certain end points for various sort of policy discussions. And therefore maybe taking final decisions in terms of adopting reports to say, oh no, this would apply if we keep this model going also for the future. I think we need to look at the balance then that may be needed in terms of discussion that the council itself has, as opposed to taking that input from the wider group, so that there isn't distraction in terms of rerunning argumentation or whatever that is coming from the wider group that's within. So I just see there are two competing aims in terms of the outreach that we'll be successfully doing by this new format. But the tension there is the, if you like, completion of work in a timely fashion, and council operating according to the job it has to do. So, and I think that can be resolved with a bit of thought in terms of timetabling and planning.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, and this is something that I was thinking needed to be done, are you saying that within each of these themes we sort of say, okay, there's 5 minutes for report from staff, GNSO, constituency, whoever it is that needs a report on it, then there's 20 minutes of open discussion, then 20 minutes of council discussion, then vote? Is that the kind of thing you're saying should be laid out?
Maybe something like that, exactly. So,
okay.
so that it's clear at what point, if you like, you are ending that public discussion so that council can get on with its job at a council meeting. Otherwise, we will end up having an extended public forum and no council meeting.
Exactly. No, that was indeed the intention, and thanks for bringing it up and reminding. That was indeed, it's really just a shift of what's in the foreground and what's in the background of scheduling.
Hmm.
You know, was it divided in two chunks? And, yes.
Aubrey, just want to add one thing to that, and I submitted this, I think I commented on this, or I don't know if it was in San Juan or since then, but in cases like our own constituency as registries, to the extent that any changes would be made to a motion that might need additional input from the constituency, and by the way, I'm supportive of trying this, and I actually think it has some good potential. The one modification to what you suggested, I would say, is that that actual voting may be put off until a little bit later, in case we can interact with some people within our constituency, just to make sure we're not doing something that would be against constituency wishes.
Well, I would think on any vote, you know, as we're approaching the vote, we'll know whether we've made substantive changes or not, and any of the councillors could speak on behalf of their constituency saying, you know.
Yeah, which would be fine.
The motion to vote, sort of say no, you know, we're not there yet, we need this, that, or the other, and then we deal with that, you know, issue at the time.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to remind
okay.
that.
Yeah, and I think that can happen on anything, you know. At a mm-hmm. certain point, we decide we need more constituency comment, we need more public comment, and we therefore end up deferring something. Though I'm hoping we can avoid that with some topics like who is. but anyway, okay, so I will take as an action that I need to flesh this out with timings, and Chuck, and you and I can sort of work that through with Glenn and get our timing straight.
Okay.
And we should probably do that before we, before the next sending out of schedule, try to actually flesh this out so people have a good view of what they're coming into. Okay. Any other comments on the LA meeting in general, not just the public meeting, but the face-to-face? We have the one note that the IDN CCTLD may not have enough time as it's laid out. And so we'll have to look at that. And any other issues that people would like to bring up regarding the schedule? Nope. Okay. Next one is, I guess, item 5, follow-up and reserve names for existing TLDs. There's a staff proposed implementation document on GNSO Reserve Working Group. So who would like to start off speaking to this? Someone from the staff? Chuck?
Well,
who is it that should be speaking to this?
I'll start, and then Patrick can jump in if he wants, because Patrick's been continuing to work on this. Again, remind people that, as stated in the document that staff put out, there are two areas that that affect existing registries from the reserve names final report, and that is the ICANN IANA names and the single letter digit names at the second or third level. And so, you know, work is ongoing on that, and I'll stop there for sake of being brief and see if Patrick wants to add anything there. I know he has communicated with me that some things are forthcoming on this.
Okay, Patrick?
There probably is one other area that's open, and that's GTLD names at the second level. There wasn't agreement within the working group on how that should be addressed for existing registries. So that's something that's still an open item.
Thanks. Yeah. Now, there are some. Shouldn't we anticipate some additional input from staff in at least the area of ICANN IANA names and single-digit letter names, Patrick?
Ben, if you want, I can go into, you know, what our proposed next steps are for each of those categories.
I think it'd be helpful. Is that okay, Aubrey?
Yeah, no, I think that's good, because I'm still trying to figure out what it is we actually need to do next. And so if we can get to that and understand everything, that would be good. That would be helpful for me, certainly.
Okay. Well, all of the reserve name recommendations were discussed by the council in San Juan. And following San Juan, some minor modifications were made, some of the examples. And then staff took those recommendations and developed the proposed implementation document. And as mentioned earlier, the two areas where there's some additional work needed is on ICANN IANA names and on single letters and single digits at the second level. And then some additional work that staff will conduct with the existing GTLD registries on GTLD names at the second level. So for ICANN and IANA names, the recommendation, if you look at the document, was to maintain the existing registration reservation in the current registry agreements, and that IANA ICANN names at the top level would be dealt with in the implementation of the new TLD process. So for existing registries, the recommendation was to consult with those parties that have a name on the reserve list and see if they wish to maintain that reservation. And so staff will be conducting an outreach with those parties to see if they want to maintain their name within the reserve name list.
Okay, so that hasn't happened yet.
No, not yet.
Okay.
And Patrick, it's more than just asking them whether they'd like to keep it, but also asking them to essentially justify, explain how they used them in the past, and the questions that we drafted up quite some time ago. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Patrick, were you finished, or?
With that item, and then if you wanted me to go into single letter and digits at the second level, I can do so. So the recommendation...
go ahead.
Were the
ahead.
Questions? Okay, sorry.
So on single letters and digits for the second level, the proposed implementation was for staff to develop proposed allocation methods and posting a forum on the ICANN website to request ideas. And we were waiting until after this council call that we should be very shortly afterward posting that forum.
Okay, did you need any input from the council on the doing of that, or you just basically wanted to have told the council beforehand that you were doing it before you actually did it?
Yeah, I don't think we need anything from the council. We were just waiting until after this call to do that.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions on that particular item? Okay, thanks. Please go on.
And then if you want me to go through each of the recommendations, it's like they haven't changed substantially from what was discussed in San Juan. You know, most of the recommendations, in fact, all the ones that deal with at the top level have been either included into the new TLD process or will be added as a contractual condition for new TLDs.
I don't know that we need to go through the specifics unless somebody has specific questions that they would like an answer on. Are there any specific questions on any? Does anybody think that we should go through the rest of them again? Okay, not hearing anyone wanting to go through them in detail. And no one has any questions on those. Are there any other questions or discussions that someone would like to bring up on open discussion on any of these issues? No? Okay, then if I understand correctly, basically this sort of serves as notification, as status update, as work doing, but there's really no action item for the council coming out of this at this point, or any decision that needs to be made by the council at this point. Am I understanding it correctly?
That's correct.
Okay, does everyone agree with that sort of perception? Okay, any other issues on this before moving on? Okay. Item 6 is any other business. I don't know, at the beginning of the meeting, did anybody bring up any other business that needed to go into this time slot?
No, Aubrey, they did not, but I did not specifically ask either. So.
Okay. Does anyone have any issues that they wish to have considered under the any other business at this point? No statements or motions to any constituents. Okay. Then the next item was the action item review. We're actually moving ahead on schedule. Actually, we're ahead of schedule. Let me see, where is that file? There's the file. Okay, going through it from the top. We haven't gone through it in a while. The first item on the list was the Who is Working Group report, where the council had to come up with its proposed motions, which happened. Where Liz needed to get the draft final report out, it is out. And now the constituencies are in the period of updating statements October 4th. One thing I wanted to point out on that is, as I've done in the past, you know, I'll probably put in an individual NOMCOM appointee's commentary. I know it's different than a constituency report, and I have mentioned this to my fellow NOMCOM appointees that, you know, they can do the same should they wish to do so. Sort of a practice we've been following. It's different than a constituency report, but it just includes the personal view of a NOMCOM appointee and doesn't pretend to represent. Any comments on the Who is Working Group report and schedule and next item? Obviously, what's not listed on there is then we go out for the public comment, and then we have the discussions and hopefully votes in LA.
Aubrey, it's Christina.
Hi.
Hi. I just have a question. Perhaps I misunderstood the motion that we'd voted on the 6th, but I had not understood that public comment period was going to open so soon. I have no objection to it opening so soon.
Oh,
I just wanted to see if there had been a change. What was the reason for that?
You mean the one that the staff has basically announced a comment period?
Yes.
No, that was a staff initiative. And I don't believe it is actually the official, because obviously there may be changes in the report based on the addition of the constituency updates and the addition of any, you know, NOMCOM appointee statements that come in. The report will still need to be re-released on the October 6th. I don't have it in front of me now, but I believe it was October 6th deadline. And the open period that we mentioned that was in the motion would be started. I think what the staff has basically done is sort of told the world, here's the document, it's being discussed, feel free to comment, but it isn't. And when I was asked about that, I basically made the same comment I'm making now, that making comments at any time is fine, but the report that actually the public needs to comment on is the one that comes out on the 6th.
Okay, so as a follow-on clarification point, if someone comments now,
yeah,
is it necessary for them to either comment again or just even something as simple as saying, please see my earlier comment, once the public comment period officially opens?
Can't we make it a decision that any comments that are submitted now would automatically be included in the follow-up comment period?
I would hope so, because I think a lot of people aren't going to understand that there's a distinction, but I just didn't know what the thought had been in terms of how we would do that to make sure that we were communicating to people when the various comment periods were for purposes of their maximizing their own contribution.
I think that's a good suggestion. I don't know whether we need to actually do a formal motion on that, and I'll check on that. And if so, we can put a motion at one of our next meetings.
Okay.
That basically says, you know, we move to include all comments received up to now as having been submitted during the comment period, or some such wordage, and we can certainly do that to make sure that it's formally set out.
That would be great.
Okay, so I'll make a note that, you know, we need such a motion for a future meeting.
And Aubrey, this is Liz. If you find that a motion isn't required and it's just something we're going to do, then, you know, I'll make sure it gets done with.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, I think just because of the importance of this process and the importance of having everything done clearly, openly, and whatever, it's probably good to record a motion. But then again, if legal counsel comes back to me and says, you know, no, you don't need such a motion, it's silly to do such a motion, or it's a bad idea for some reason, then obviously we should reconsider. So, but thank you.
Thank you, Avery.
Avery, one bad idea may be the fact that if such a motion is required, the implication is that the current public comment period is completely meaningless.
Well, I think it might be possible to word the motion so that it doesn't presuppose that it's meaningless. It's just trying to make sure that a hole that might be seen as open isn't. And then that can hopefully be dealt with in the wording.
Let's hope that some logic and simplicity can prevail rather than process.
Yes. I just want to make sure that we don't have any issues for appeal. And I want to make sure that the comments are included, I think. I also think I understand that the council in general, no one objects to the notion that these comments should be included. Is that correct? Does anyone think that they should not be? Okay, great. I think we're still very much learning how to integrate the public commentary as much as possible and as non-bureaucratically as possible into the process, and I think it's still a learning process.
Philip, we could always have a motion that says that we decide that logic and reason should prevail over process.
You're very good, so.
Okay. Moving on the schedule. Okay, so on the new GTLD, basically the board report has been prepared. Is that correct, Olaf?
That is very correct, and we've added a few parts to what Liz Williams had already prepared in that respect, and Glenn and I worked on that, and we, as of yesterday, forwarded that to Denise for preparation of the submission to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Olaf, did you say that happened yesterday?
Yes, it did.
Okay, all right, okay.
Are we still on schedule for meeting all of the board's scheduling requirements so that they can discuss this in L.A.?
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Okay. And I know that's probably as precise an answer as you can give, because I find the schedule for things making it to the board's table to be a bit baffling. Good. Thank you.
Aubrey, in regard to that, the intent of the new GTLD committee, and I think the council's intent as well, was that the GAC and all the supporting organizations, advisory committees, and so forth are properly notified, and I believe that has happened as well, right?
Hello?
Yes, I must say I have not taken any action myself on this. And I think that is certainly an intention and the way it has been done before. And I noted that, to a large extent, I don't know, is Denise on the call?
No, I don't see on the call.
Okay.
I think Denise is probably best suited to respond to that particular question.
Indeed, since she has taken over in sort of overriding position on since Liz left, and I and Glenn have contributed parts of it, but not taken the full responsibility of the submission.
Okay. Well, we can take an action item to confirm with Denise.
All right. I can do that.
Okay, thank you. And you can get back to the council.
And I can report, Aubrey, that Denise has made sure that the announcements of the workshop in L.A. Are out. Whether that is clear that there's going to be board action or potential board action in L.A., I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's not really our issue. Our issue is that it has been delivered. The next thing we had on new GTLDs was, the further reporting of the work from the workshop preparation committee. So, Chuck, what would be the next deliverable to the council from that group?
Well, we're hoping by next the end of next week to have a supplemental document, a draft supplemental document that could be used, be much briefer, and would be posted in early October, but it needs to be at least shown to the council and give the council members a chance to comment if they have any comments. It's not intended to replace the final report, but rather to provide a brief document that people aren't able to go through 200 pages and find all the rationale and thoughts and so forth. So that supplemental document hopefully will be ready to send to the council for review later next week. And then also I think we're very close to finalizing a plan for the workshop in L.A. that we would present to the council.
Okay.
And I don't have an exact date on that, but I think we're going to be real close next week. Whether we totally finalize it next week, I'm not sure.
Okay, so I've put down a September 28th draft supplemental document available for review. And that basically is a staff/team effort. Is that a good entry?
Yeah, that's good. And just a warning to counselors is that, you know, it'd probably be better if we don't have to wait for a council meeting to get people's feedback. So if they can provide feedback online in fairly short order, that would really help, because the sooner that document is able to be posted before the workshop in L.A., the more people will have time to review it.
And the final plan for the meeting should probably be available at least a week before our next meeting.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be a problem. We've made really good progress, as you know, and we have another meeting scheduled for Tuesday, and I think we're going to have most things wrapped up then. We might need one more meeting after that.
So basically, I'll put down an October 4th goal, since that would be a week before the meeting.
Good.
For the team to have basically final plan for the workshop. Obviously, it's final plan but the council has to review it, but plan for the workshop. Draft.
Yeah, and then hopefully then the council can take action on that plan on that meeting in early October.
Any questions on that, the rest of the work on the new TLD and where we are at in terms of what we need to do? Anything I've forgotten? Okay. IGO, and by the way, if you think of what's been forgotten an hour after the meeting, please send it to us, or send it to Chuck and I, whichever. IGO issues follow-up. There's a report listed on September 28th. Olaf, is that still a reasonable schedule?
It's still a reasonable schedule. There is a draft, which, of course, it's getting better and better and more input on that. But in some shape or form, it will be ready by September 28th, yes.
Okay. And then we have the October 11th meeting. This is on the agenda to discuss and possibly act on reports. Okay. Domain, any other questions, issues on the IGO issues follow-up? Okay. The main tasting issues follow-up, the next actions were Mike, October 4th, a report from the ad hoc group. Is that still a reasonable goal?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. And we also have that on the agenda for October 11th to discuss and act.
Okay, but you did mention earlier when you were talking about the time allotments in L.A., you'd mentioned domain tasting as well, so I was a little confused.
Well, basically, we need to get the reports for both the IGO and the domain tasting from the groups. There may be recommendations in them. For example, if there's a recommendation to start a PDP and a motion, that's something that we may not wait to act on in L.A. It really depends on what the council does. But whatever we do in terms of discussions and then acting on our next steps, we need to, in the public meeting, report on it, have open discussion, and then if there's any further actions that we need to take at that point, or if we haven't already taken action, we need to take it then. So I wasn't trying to put them in an either or, but I do admit that I tripped over my explanation a little while I was going through it. Does that help in clarifying?
It does, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so any other questions on domain tasting issues? Okay, then there's response to the board resolution regarding IDN CCTLDs. We had the report today. We have not had much discussion on it yet, though we will have more. We have an open discussion in LA as basically the next item. Basically, we have two meetings. One, we have our Saturday meeting discussion. Then we have the GAC discussion, a discussion with the GAC. Then we have it on the agenda for the public meeting. And I need to report at least on status. And I understand that we have a goal to try and be able to release at least a draft of the report that doesn't say proposed, but is at least a working draft or something. Before then, and we'll talk about that more as time goes on. Any other issues that I need to add other than the LA open discussion meetings? Do that. Any other deliverables that I need to put on the schedule? Okay. The RN recommendations for existing TLDs, we have the report. We've discussed it today. Do we have any other action items on that at the moment? I guess there's some more finishing of the report that the staff needs to do on various issues, correct?
Okay. And that the who holds token there should be staff, right?
Yes. Basically, staff has items to be completed.
And the pending action is not discuss report anymore, but rather the actions
yes.
that staff has taken.
Right. And then there may be another discuss the update, but...
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm.
Okay, but that would come later. But, yes, the discuss report by council item is done. Okay, any questions or issues, discussion on the RN recommendation? Okay. Then there was develop a plan for holding an extensive comment session in L.A., and that was at this meeting, and... We've already talked about the workshop, and we've talked about our meeting plan. So I think the next step is...
The supplemental document you might want to add as an action item there, that the, at least...
Well,
from
we have
the
supplemental
planning.
Document under new GOTLD. I wonder if we've got a duplicate of work items here.
Yeah, probably.
Right. I should probably straighten that out. Okay, because I think that we've merged that under the new GTLD. I think
which is,
when we
which is fine.
Right. And so that this one basically is just folded in.
It's good to make sure that this one has specific attention, but it folding it into new GTLDs is fine.
Okay. Register transfer policy review. We had that today. We took a motion. That motion has some dated items that need to be added to the schedule. So I guess Chuck and I have work to do there in terms of proposing. That also had the goal of setting up a group, so we'll need to look at how to do that. Interested in talking to people about how we structure that group. That's something that we need to figure out. And then there's also an issues report that needs to be added into the schedule here. I think Chuck and I need to do a little bit of work and then come back with the next items in the schedule for that. Does that seem reasonable to people? And that seemed to be the sort of guidance from, I believe it was Philip's remark, that, you know, having done the motion now, we should go away and deliver the plan. Is that a correct view of the next item on this?
I think that makes sense, yes.
Okay. And if I understand, Ross, you are still interested in remaining involved with the process and possibly with the small group going on event. I don't know if you said that during your meeting, but is that something?
Yeah, I'm leaving council in at the end of the annual meeting, but to the extent that I can assist on this issue, I would love to help out.
And you'll still be a member of your constituency?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. So I'd be interested in knowing, in terms of putting together this group, people from the council that are interested in being involved, and we also need to think about, and this is something that we need to discuss on the list, in terms of doing a PDP and after the issues report and coming up with a proposal, what form we're going to want this PDP to take in terms of task forces, committees as a whole, working groups, hybrid combinations. We need to start thinking of that and have proposals for when it comes time to actually vote on a PDP in its terms of reference. And so there's a lot of work to be done in all of this. And Dick and I can try and scope out the first cut at how we go about doing it.
And Aubrey, I'd like to suggest that we not restrict us to counselors. Some of the people that were on Ross's working group really are much more knowledgeable about the details of some of this, and they're not counselors. So, and I know that the person that was on that for Barbara Steele from VeriSign is more than willing to continue to help in that, and she'd do a lot better than I would in terms of understanding the ins and outs of that.
I heard someone else wanted to comment.
That was me, Aubrey. Certainly, in terms of the immediate PDP that we voted on today, I will speak on behalf of the group on this. I think it's safe for me to say this. The intent there was that that council embarks upon a very time limited, scope limited. Narrow policy development process that would happen quickly to take care of what we viewed as a few minor problems that need adjustment in the existing policy. To the extent that we could actually use what's in the bylaws as the basis for that PDP, I think it would be wonderful.
I think we have to. As I said, we can add working groups around the edges on PDPs if they're necessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, at this point, without the bylaws being changed, we have to, as much as possible, follow them. I think, though, we still need to wait for the issues report.
Yes.
That, and then we put together the terms of reference and the means. I just think we need to start thinking about that, and I thank you for, your comment on how we do that. And, okay. Any other issue on that one? So basically, Chuck and I essentially have the next item, although the staff also has an issues report deliverable. Motion on proxy voting. Okay. I don't have a response from legal counsel yet. I do have confirmation that it is something that they have received from us and will respond on.
When? What's the timeline?
I don't have a timeline.
Oh.
I will ask again for timeline. Also motion on term limits. We've basically sent that up to the board asking for advice. Also have acknowledgement that's there. I believe the board governance committee is considering that one. I tend to believe that a response to that one will come out in their overall recommendations and not separately. So that one is. I will ask again on the motion on proxy voting, which is basically at the moment we're asking for a question. Can it just be done, or do we need the board to, or how do we do it if it can't just be done? And that's basically what I'm still asking. I will ping the legal counsel to get an idea of when we might have an answer, or perhaps even get an answer. Actually, first I'll ask for an answer, and then I'll ask when we might get one.
Any other comments on any of the issues on the work list, on the action items list? Please, if there's action items or work items that I left off the list that need to be added, please let Chuck and I know. Okay, the second page of that, we've already talked about some. We've had the 20th teleconference. Next one is the 11th, where we basically talk about, at the moment what we have on the schedule is IGO and domain tasting. We'll also have Chuck and my plan for how we're moving forward on the register transfer, et cetera, and I don't know what else will come up there.
And the workshop. And
the workshop report, right. Okay.
Yeah.
The workshop planning, and the registry transfer.
And Aubrey, on October 11th, this is Liz. That's the deadline by which the staff will incorporate the constituents' statements.
Okay. And so that'll be reported on, but I don't think we actually have an action item on that for the meeting, or do we? I mean, an agenda item for that. Okay, but that will be covered under the schedule review, just to make sure we're everywhere we should be. Okay, any other issues, questions on that?
This is Norbert.
I know.
You said that, Avery, you would ask for a response from the legal counsel on the proxy voting. Maybe could you ask that we get a response before our next meeting on the 11th of October?
I will do that.
Thank you.
Okay. So let me type that down. Action. Ask for response on proxy. Any other issues in terms of our work plan going forward, our meeting plan going forward? Okay, no, thank you. Any other issues, questions that need to be raised before closing this meeting? In which case, I thank you. I again apologize for being confused about the schedule and being late. I thank Chuck for covering for me, and I thank all of you for participation during the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.